up, Nation? It's GP2 here. The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasti is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Thanks, Gary. Spadoni in for Monte Hill alongside Joe Shasti. One final segment for 2024, The Morning Roast. And it's definitely been a year, Joe. I don't think anyone was going dumb yesterday at a sideshow. A lot of sideshows in Oakland, by the way.
The only thing that was dumb was some of the decisions to kick a 58-yard field goal. Purdy staring down a safety. Why are you going to soft zone coverage? What did I say to you? I came walking in this morning. I go, fourth and four from the four. Fourth and goal from the four. And you're 1,000 yards off of a guy. I was livid.
Where's Bully Ball Man when you need him, Joe Shasti? RIP, a butcher shop original. Hard press man, always. Where's the hard press coverage right there?
I literally Amon-Ra St. Brown was like, oh, yeah. I'll just catch this and fall over.
They looked so much faster offensively.
Oh, Jameson just Williams looks amazing.
Jameson Williams, Jameer Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, you name it. They just looked fast. I love both teams trying to be tricky, trying to do everything. It was a fun watch if you're like a nerd and you like the X's and O's and stuff like that offensively. It was fun. Defensively, if you like defense, you did not like that game. It was gross. It was gross.
All I kept thinking watching that game was, I need three new linebackers like to compete for the two spots. And yeah. I need probably five defensive linemen.
At least.
You probably still need a legitimate free safety.
Do you need a quarterback? That's the question right now as well. 888-957-9570. Dave in San Francisco. I'll get to you here in a second. This is what Ryan Clark, former NFL DB, played for the Steelers, currently an analyst for ESPN and the NFL side, does a lot of good things. Ryan Clark, I respect his opinion when it comes to certain things. When it comes to the NFL and the quarterbacks, well, let's see. This is what he has to say about Brock Purdy.
Sometimes it's not just about the wins and losses. It's about what's happening on the field. Sort of how you said, it's not about how many are injured, but who is injured.
Yeah.
Looking at Brock Purdy this year, you're watching him play without Brandon Ayuk, without Juwan Jennings at time, with Deebo Samuel hurt, with Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve. And so you're seeing Brock Purdy have to do things you never saw him do before. And so you do envision that if we have to restructure this roster, can he do some of those things without the top tier or top end talent that he had in that Super Bowl run year? And to me, he's shown you that he could. And I believe that was important for a Kyle Shanahan and a Lynch to see, because now you do have to pay him. But I agree with you too. It doesn't have to be $62 million.
Right,
it doesn't have to be the most guaranteed.
What's the number going to be? That's going to be the next domino. We got one more game
to
go. They
pay him $62 million. That's franchise suicide. I mean, what are we doing? Like, I'm talking about per year. Like, an AAV, that's ridiculous.
If he resets...
He's stupid.
No, I'm like... If he resets
the quarterback market.
He deserves a pay raise. I'm telling you, dude, that if they come close to that Trevor contract, that is really hitting the danger zone.
I don't...
That's a bad... The Trevor Lawrence contract is a bad contract.
No, it is, but I understood why Jacksonville had to do it. They had a first-round pick. Jacksonville has to, because they're not getting anyone to come over.
They have the franchise tag in their back pocket. Like, you don't have to do anything. Now, can the quarterback hold out and do this? Like, what leg did Trevor Lawrence... Well, Trevor Lawrence had a handful of good games.
He had their only playoff win in God knows how long, right?
Sure. He's also gone through how many coaches? And I know
but
it's not just
his fault.
That's
the argument, though. That's not his fault.
I mean,
come on. Like, I think Kyle Shanahan would love to have an opportunity right now for Trevor Lawrence. And I think, surprisingly, a lot of the fan base wouldn't mind going after a guy like Trevor Lawrence over Brock Purdy. Why? Size, strength, athleticism, his build, his touch at times. He can hit the deep balls. Like... There are things you can question now when it comes to Brock Purdy that you couldn't after last season. And he's shown some really good things. He has. But he's also shown the inability to stay healthy at times and the inability to hoist a team and put them on the shoulders. You brought up Trevor Lawrence. It's one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the NFL. He put the team on his back, Joe Shasti. I at least saw that from Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if Brock Purdy's in that same position, if he could have done that. So, but you can say, well, Brock Purdy got to a Super Bowl and stuff.
Didn't he come back in the NFC title game last year?
Not to the extent of what Trevor Lawrence had.
Okay, but still a comeback, though.
And he also had way more help than what Trevor Lawrence had. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
Trevor's had a couple of games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's not act like he's some, like, scrubbini. Like, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars...
No, but it's a horrible deal.
It's a horrible situation he's also in.
I know, but...
Doug Peterson's going to be gone. He's going to be fired.
I hate that contract. That's it's the fine. Same way I hate the Tua contract. And so people could tell me, well, that's the comp.
But they can get out of Tua. I don't think there's any more guaranteed money on Tua's deal. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that was a quick deal. Like, they can get out of Tua's contract if they want the Dolphins.
There's a three-year void or whatever. Yeah. I was looking at all these contracts. There's a void after 3 years. Same with Jared Goff. His new money starts next
year. But that's
what
I'm saying. You could bake this into these contracts. It's not cut and dry where you're going to see the language of it, and then you're going to realize, oh, actually, it's not that bad. That's what I think is going to happen with the Brock Purdy deal when and if it gets done this season.
Look, I like Brock. I'm not moving him. He deserves some sort of a pay raise. I'm not giving him top of the market. And they need to still insulate themselves with a young drafted quarterback to be behind him pushing him. I think that all those things are fair. When the Packers drafted Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers went completely Buck Louie internally, it did push him to multiple MVPs.
Do you think, let's say hypothetically...
I don't think competition's a bad thing.
Okay, let's say hypothetically, let's pick a guy because you're not going to get Cam Ward, you're not going to get Shedeur Sanders, you need to invest something else. Let's say, who's the third quarterback and maybe he slides and there's a big drop-off? Jalen Milroe, Alabama.
Oh, that's a huge project.
But what is he gives you everything that Brock Purdy really doesn't, right? He's big, strong,
Jalen Milroe would be, to me, like similar to a Justin Fields. That's a non-starter for Kyle Shanahan.
He just fumbled the ball in the rain right now, too, Jalen Milroe.
That's fine. It's the rain. He's just like Brock Purdy.
We love to talk about
he's just like Brock Purdy, then. All right, so there you go. Like, but I'm Let's giving you an one. Example.
Quinn
I'll give
Ewers.
You an example. Quinn Ewers, that's, stop. So yeah, I'm trying to give you someone with upside.
No, I know, but like I'm just
Quinn
saying,
Ewers
like,
just gives me nothing. He gives me Brock Purdy.
Shanahan, knowing Shanahan's, who Shanahan likes, he would like a Quinn Ewers. I know him. I feel like I know him.
Listen, but like this is the problem. Now I'm getting upset. Like, then what are we doing here?
You're just
going to be drafting or getting players like you need to. They try to go out of their comfort zone with Trey Lance a little bit, which I appreciated. You could find some common ground in between that. You don't have to get the guy that's not super athletic, super big, but he does all the other little things great. And you don't have to get the guy that's super big and athletic, but he can't do the little things great. Like, you can find a happy medium somewhere in there.
I would agree.
I don't think Jalen Milroe is a huge project. I think he does some nice things with his arm.
Jalen, but I don't think that's a great fit. It's an example.
I'm saying if he falls to the third round and they draft him, would you be mad at that? If he falls?
No, I wouldn't be. I want them to take another swing on a quarterback. And to me, that's what Andy would do. That's what Bill Walsh would do. I think that's what Belichick proved he did year after year after year. Like, just because you got your guy doesn't mean you stop looking.
Here's one. A lot of people are going to find it weird. Carson Beck. He's a guy that can fall.
Look, I'm open-minded to a lot of different people. Now, should their first and second pick be the...
Fourth, though? Maybe.
Then I'm open-minded to it. But this also, like, am I keeping Trent? Do I have 5 picks in the top 4 rounds? Or do I have only 3? Like, I think that they need to invest heavily into another running back and the offensive and defensive lines. Those would be my first 4-round priorities before I get to quarterback. But quarterback's in there.
And we heard it from Baldy, who joined us at 7:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And you can find that entire interview, download the Odyssey app. It's free. Find us it on YouTube, 95.7thename.com, everything. Find that Baldy interview. He was great. And he echoed the same sentiments. He said, you know what? Outside of Nick Bosa, it's just not good enough right now for the San Francisco 49ers. You need at least 3 guys on the defensive line, he said. 2 on the edge and 1 defensive on the interior. So right now they have 1. They won. They have Nick Bosa.
I know.
It's just not good enough. You thought, Drake Jackson maybe. Oh, you thought Javon Kinlaw, right? You thought Leonard Floyd this year. Yitor Gross-Matos. He was showing some stuff, but not enough. You didn't show me anything yesterday. Like, you need more. Now, it's intriguing, also scary, the proposition, and there's been rumblings, and people have been rumbling for the last few years. Maybe go after his brother, Joey.
Well, no, maybe. See, to me, I go the opposite.
Okay, so you don't even, that's a non-starter.
So I look at the Rams, right? The Rams are offensively top-heavy financially. Defense, they went all young. And they're one of the fastest, most powerful defenses right now. And they're actually really different than what they were a couple of years
ago.
And
what did they hit on? Those draft picks.
No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. But
Best converse.
And Byron Young's a solid young player, a younger player. Yeah, Verse has been an absolute monster, and so has Fisk. And then they got a bunch of random guys that most people have never heard of. And then they took a swing on a guy who's bounced around, and Okello Witherspoon, who's been really good for them.
I know.
It's crazy. He's been really good for them. You know, so
made plays against the Niners. I was shocked by that. But yeah.
Look, I always thought the guy had talent. He just was a knucklehead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like I always thought he had talent. He was a knucklehead. So I think the Niners need to go young and cheap on defense and stop going via free agency that route. If there are some offensive linemen via free agency that are available. So like this is where the financial conversation with Purdy does matter. Let's say there is a guard out there who's better than Aaron Banks, who's going to be a free agent. And let's say instead of, I'm just going hypotheticals, $80 million guaranteed. I'm only giving $60 million guaranteed over 2 years to Brock Purdy. I doubt it. Just, these are imaginary numbers. Imaginary. Sure. Well, now I got $20 million guaranteed that maybe I can roll into a guard or a tackle or a center who might be available. And then I could draft another center or a guard or a tackle. And like, see, to me, it's not just on the trenches. Defensively, I'm drafting. I'm not going free agency in the trenches defensively. Offensively, I want a combination of a veteran and some drafted guys. They need some veteran depth on that offensive line.
Well, there's going to be a future Hall of Famer that's going to be available. We'll see if the team down in Texas retains him. Zach Martin's going to be a free agent.
See, like, to me, that's I would bring him in yesterday.
No-brainer, right? Like, that's
even if he's long in the tooth.
He's 34.
Trent's long in the tooth.
Right?
He fits right in.
And he arrived here long in the tooth.
And if I get him, now I've got Pooney in him, and that's nice. Like, see, to me, that's an upgrade over Aaron Banks, who played well last year and hasn't played close to as well this year.
Dave is out in San Francisco. He wants to join in the conversation. He's talking about maybe they should draft a quarterback. What's going on, Dave? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
First of all, Shasky, please don't ever bring PTSD ever in my life again with that Jose Cortez thing, man.
Feel me?
Jeez. I honestly think I like that pick when you said Quinn Ewers. I think it's gonna take a second round to go get him. But when I'll be giving Kyle, other than Trey, a quarterback to really just sit and develop and give Brock competition. Like you said, competition is a good thing. So I think they should do that. But I fully on agree, get to the trenches, draft, and go get the free agents. But Quinn Ewers, with Shani teaching him, I think he could do some damage.
I'm with you. Look, this is about team building, and I think that people get too definitive in these things. Is Kyle Shanahan a good coach? Yes or no? And if you say no, that means you want him fired. Is Kyle Shanahan the best coach in the league who can win a Super Bowl every year? If you say yes, then yes, he is. It's like, guys, there's so much gray area. When I'm building a team, all right, like, and I'll just say Bill Walsh in the 80s.
Sure.
He was like, yeah, like, I love Joe Montana. He's won a lot of games for me. He won multiple Super Bowls. He also has this back injury, okay? And he's played poorly the last 2 years by my standards for him as a quarterback. So I'm going to go take a swing and I'm going to trade for
I broke Steve my
Young.
Back.
I'm going to go trade for Steve Young because I want the best team possible and I'm insulating myself so that if Joe goes down again this year, all right, I've got something that doesn't just end my season. And you know what ending your season is Brandon Allen. Like, your season's over, okay? So if you had same questions about two-time Super Bowl freaking Joe Montana, how could you not be a little concerned about Brock's health, right? That's what any good organization would do. They would go out and they would say, hey, I'm still paying you. I'm going to give you some sort of a pay increase. You're going to come back. You're my starter as of right now, right? But I'm still looking for guys to take your job. And you know what your job is as a high-paid quarterback? To prove why you're worth more and why you're the man and to keep staving off father time. All right, that's what every quarterback in the league should be looking to do. And I look at all these guys that they face a little bit of adversity, like Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix was pushing him, and you saw what ended up happening to Kirk Cousins.
Folded.
Completely folded, right? And we all didn't think highly of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and a lot of that's his the injury he had. He's old. Like, it was just time. Kirk's done.
A lot of things.
He's done, yeah. He's
a
done.
A lot of things. But, like,
future backup for San Francisco, by the way, next year.
The greatest things that have ever happened in Niner history, most of them are born out of some sort of a quarterback competition. Whether it's John Brody, Y.A. Tittle, whether we're talking about Joe versus DeBerg, Joe versus Steve Young. You know, like, most of these come with some sort of quarterback controversy. At some point, it was Alex and Cap. And you got the best out of Kaepernick. I thought it brought the best out of Alex, too, the very next year in 2012.
Iron sharpens iron.
You know, by just drafting Kaepernick. And then, obviously, think about what happened with the Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance. Jimmy had a nice bounce back in 2021.
Well, I think of what Jimmy did for Tom Brady. Jimmy pushed Brady a little bit.
100%.
And Brady's always been on edge kind of a guy. He doesn't like, and I heard Bill Belichick, I think he was on McAfee, and they were talking about, like, how does he Belichick, because he had these situations like, you know, Dan Campbell or some of these teams that you're not playing for anything the final 2 weeks, or like the Chiefs are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, how did he combat that? Do you tell your players not to play or give it their all? He's like, yeah, I had a hard time telling a guy like Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and Tom Brady, like, yeah, you guys aren't going to play. Because they live and breathe this thing. And Tom would be pissed if a backup or even a third string would take any of his reps in any situation, because that's how he is wired. I think Brock is wired a little bit like that as well, which I appreciate. But yeah, to your point, like, I wouldn't be upset if the Niners ended up in the third round or fourth round getting like a Carson Beck or a Quinn Ewers or something like that. Someone to push just a little bit. Like that's a big enough name for me that it does something. That's why I said Milroe, because he's a name, right? But he's gonna be linked to a second or a third round pick, and that interests me.
I don't treat quarterback different than running back. Like,
no, sure.
Okay, so you had Christian McCaffrey, best player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You also had Jordan Mason backing him up, okay? Yeah. And you had Elijah Mitchell. What did you do? You drafted another running back. That's I don't care what position it is. I'm trying to have a competition across the board.
That's a Bill Walsh and it's an Al Davis special. Think of Marcus Allen. Who they bring in?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus. You're going to be a fullback now. You're going to block for Bo. Credit to Marcus. He's a Hall of Famer and he's like, all right, sure. You know what? Fine. I'll do it.
But here's where it gets tough.
Yeah.
If you give a guy $150 million guaranteed, Atlanta Falcons, and then draft a quarterback 10th overall or 9th overall, like, okay, now you're spending too much capital and asset money on a position where only one guy can play, right? So that's the only area where I would say the two can conflict with each other. But what I'm saying is I'm not giving Brock the amount of guaranteed money that Kirk Cousins got. Not yet, no. Hell no. Not coming off that injury. And especially, we got to find out what this injury is. And I'm not drafting a guy that high unless they fall in love. And if they do, then if they fall in love and they draft someone in the first round, I think the writing's on the wall then for Brock.
Wow, look at that. On the TV screen here in Michigan, Alabama, I just saw a Michigan kicker make an extra point. That's pretty crazy. Brian Baldinger on the 49ers quarterback injury trend, if it's a thing.
This is the position. You know, Joe Burrow's missed 2 out of 5 years. How many actually stay healthy? The fact is, it's the position. But you can go through the list of all these guys, and I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. It's the nature of the position right now. It'd be good if on that play that Brian Branch hit him on, that they would have known that the safety was blitzing. Now, I saw it. He's up at the line of scrimmage. What else is Brian Branch doing there? You would think that you'd have a little bit of awareness that he's there, and they didn't, and he got hit. But it's the nature of the position. These guys are getting hit by monsters and getting crushed. I honestly don't know how some of them survive a season with some of the hits that they take.
And that's Baldy. Just, and we kind of stumbled upon Shasky. Just this trend. It just, not that it's exclusive to the Niners, as Baldy's laying out. Everyone gets hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt. Teams get hurt. It happens. It just feels like, whether it was Alex Smith in the shoulder, whether it was Cap in the shoulder, whether it was Jimmy and everything, it felt like, whether it was Trey Lance, and now you're seeing it with Brock, just, God, they can't escape those nagging injuries to these quarterback and these, I'm going to say it, injury-prone players. I don't want to tag Brock Purdy. Maybe it's early, but I feel like we're on the precipice of saying he's going to be injury-prone going forward.
Well,
and that's the worst place you can be.
Can we all acknowledge that the game is super violent and it's baked in that you're going to get hurt?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have adversity. Like, it's just teams, quarterbacks, coaches, you know, wide receivers, they're all going to have certain adversity that you're just going to have to overcome. And that's the league as a whole. You're not going to have all your weaponry all the time. And so we can make excuses for where the Niners are at. Did you see the graphic at the beginning of the game for the Detroit Lions? They're missing everyone.
Yes.
They're missing everyone.
We had Lomas Brown on yesterday. Should be a Hall of Famer, but a Lions Hall of Famer, and he is the radio color analyst. And he was saying, I just named him off to him all the time. He was just laughing because it's just, you can just kind of laugh at the pain, right?
What are they, 14-2?
Yes. They have two losses. One loss in the NFC.
14 games.
And their one loss was to a Tampa Bay team that's probably going to win their division, who played them tough in the playoffs last year. Tampa Bay is a good, like, Tampa Bay on any
14-2.
Yeah, it's crazy.
God, what
and
a
they
year.
Lost to the Bills in a shootout. Like,
I mean, just what a year. And like, they lost their best defensive player to a snap leg in one of the most horrific fashions.
And
they've been playing with him for what, 10 weeks without him?
Right. They keep saying, and he keeps saying, I see him a bunch of touches. He's saying, hey, a couple weeks, I could be back. Couple weeks. I don't know if I'm doing that. Like, he's like the future of my defense. So maybe I'm telling him to cool down. But he's kind of like that Max Crosby type where he just wants to get out on that field, that TJ Watt type. He just wants to get out there. So yeah. Just the defenses yesterday, the Swiss cheese defense, as Brad Gilbert always likes to say, holes everywhere on both sides. And There's more of an excuse, though, built in with the Lions, I feel like, just given the amount. Because I still saw all pros out on the field last night for the San Francisco 49ers just weren't making plays. And is that scheme? Is that the players getting older? Is that players taking bad angles? Like Hufanga on line one. That's the guy right there. Like, we start having questions, and the season's not over yet, but we're going to start having a lot of these conversations. And you and Bonte, you're going to start going through this depth chart and saying, in or out. And it's going to be, hey, like guys like Hufanga, in or out. Am I paying that guy a lot of money? The quarterback conversation be built into that, because I'm going to be paying. I have to set aside all the stuff for Brock, right? Which sucks, because you'd like to keep everyone. You'd like, Hufanga was such a dynamic player just 2 years ago,
and
right?
And now he's running around with his...
A club.
I mean, it's just...
A club on his hand.
I know. And to the caller's point from, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes ago, this is where you have to cash in championships. Like, just one. Like, I'm of a belief, like, there's no way the Warriors or the Giants win multiple if they don't get that first one. You have to get, when your opportunity is called, you have to get that first one. Bonte said this since he was blue in the face. If the Chiefs don't win that first one, who knows what happens?
Exactly, and it's a trickle-down effect, right? Now, three Super Bowls later, it's the Kansas City freaking Chiefs, man. It's
like if Detroit doesn't win it all this year, what do you think they're thinking?
Oh, well, they're losing both their coordinators. We're gonna be back to being a middling team, probably.
How about Buffalo? We played as good as we could play all year long, and somehow we still didn't get the number one seed?
If this is the year, well, it even isn't. Because you know what? The Chiefs have not exactly been world beaters in any of their games. They should have lost to the Chargers. They should have lost to every single AFC West opponent they played this year at one point. They should have lost to the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers. And by some miracle, we all watched it. Like, how does that happen? A blocked field goal for the Broncos. Aiden O'Connell, after just dicing up the defense, they fumble the ball, right? The Chargers, it always something happens. And is this going to be the year where the Chiefs finally, the bubble bursts for them? I have a hard time thinking that because I know better. I know better. And it's going to be more demoralizing than ever, Joe Shasky, being a Niners fan sitting back this year. And if the Chiefs do three-peat, just knowing you had leads on them in both Super Bowls in the fourth quarter.
I hate them.
I think the Chiefs have been down in every Super Bowl in the fourth quarter, haven't they?
Yeah.
That makes it even more frustrating.
I hate them.
The Eagles played, Jalen Hurts played the game of his life in the one mistake he made, the fumble that Nick Bolton dropped, picked up for a touchdown. That was it. That was the difference.
Spadoni, they just...
It's crazy. I know, I hate to be beating a dead horse, and it's New Year's, and...
I hate them so much.
Yeah.
I hate them so much. I just...
Of all the things that took place this year, the Super Bowl loss takes the cake. We have 10 minutes here before we get to
Fast
Five.
I'll never get over it.
The year in review that was Bay Area sports, if you will, like, I could sell, like, the Giants maybe heading into next year. Like, I could, you know what? Buster Posey made a big move getting Willie Adames. You re-signed Matt Chapman. You missed out on Corbin Burns. That sucks. I think we would have been a little more greedy if you got both those guys. Like, wow, you did that. But you know what? The vision so far, it's early. I'm seeing a little with Buster. No nonsense approach. Yeah. Sell the fan base on some hope. Okay. I don't know what to make of the Golden State Warriors, to be quite honest with you. They're an average team. I had Steve Kerr yesterday after the game saying, he was quoting Bill Parcells. Anytime you're quoting Bill Parcells in another sport, it's not good. Anytime you have to go out and say you are what your record says you are, notice, Shasky, you never say that when you have a good record, right? You never bring that up when you're saying, oh, we're 14. Well, you are what your record says you are. No one was saying that about the Minnesota Vikings a few years ago when they kept having to have immaculate comebacks with Kirk Cousins. No. You are what your record says you are, and what your record says you are is you're mid. As Steph said that yesterday, they're a mid team. I don't know what the hope is on there. Steph doesn't look like Steph anymore. Jonathan Kuminga, that's great. He looks great, but what does that mean? I don't know what that means. Great, I got a young player I could believe in. And then you got the 49ers. They're at a crossroads right now, too. Like, this has just been a... Sports talk radio-wise, it's been great for the talking points, but if you're a fan of the team, it's been just a head-scratcher of a year.
What was the high water mark? Detroit last year, NFC Championship.
Winning the NFC Championship, probably.
So basically, a quarter and a half.
Yeah. I mean, right? That...
Because, I mean, we're all furious.
I mean, Sam and I talked about it last week. He said Blake Snell's no-hitter.
Just stop.
I forgot it was up there.
It was up there.
A very paltry year of Bears.
No, actually, no. Sam had a good one because it was more bittersweet and it was sad, if anything. It was the final game at the Oakland Coliseum.
Oh, not Willie Mays?
I'm saying a moment, like a in-game moment. Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, so, that was
Willie
really
Mays
special.
And Ricky Henderson. Oh, I mean, losing two Bay Area legends like that. Are you kidding me? Two of the top 10 players in the history of the sport, like Bay Area icons.
I know.
Horrible. Just and Ricky being an Oakland native on top of that. Just yeah. That was a really sour way to and his birthday being on Christmas. That was a really sour note to the end of the year and a horrible note for the A's and all that. And you know, I hope Vivek and the Kings are in shambles. And I know they came back last night, but. They just now I'm upset, Joe Shasky. Now you got me. It's just.
The worst part is that we thought everything like you kept everyone together. You paid everyone because it was all about winning a Super Bowl for the Niners.
All about it. And they were trying like to bring nothing, it, run it back. They were like, trying to run it back.
What went well this year? Like what went by design?
Kittle.
Okay. All right. Yep.
That's it.
Jennings was not by design.
No. Kittle was like the only one by design where it looked good.
That's a good point.
Diamond Lenore. Lenore's been good.
Yes, Diamond Lenore.
There you go.
Diamond Lenore.
That's about
Debo it. Kick returning?
He fumbled yesterday.
I know, it's two fumbles now. He did it in the Buffalo game.
I like Renardo Green this year as a rookie. Dominic he had Pooney? Some bumps in I mean, here. Renardo, Dominic Pooney, yeah. He's been really good.
The rookie draft class outside of Pearsall, maybe he has a good game next week, and he could salvage what has been a lost season.
He finished on a high note.
Yes, and that is something I could actually build off of next season.
I agree.
Probably should have had two touchdowns yesterday. He did have the one. It was impressive. He had that great bobble catch that he made, outstretched.
He just looked quick.
Yes.
He looked quick.
He looked decisive, too. Didn't
And they were running all the Debo short, like, I call it in-cutting stuff, crossers and stuff like that, with him instead of Debo, and he just looked way faster than Debo.
What made Pearsall so effective, Kyle Shanahan?
He had better stats tonight, so you know that's how it looks for receivers. But you know, when the ball came his way, he did a good job, made some good catches, had some big plays, and it doesn't always work that way for wideouts. But when it came his way, he did a real good job, beat man coverage well, and caught the ball real well too.
That tells me that he hasn't been as on down on Pearsall as the fan base. He said him saying the stats look good. Is also, I feel like, in a way, saying he's always been good. He just hasn't gotten the ball thrown to him. Now, is that a reflection on the quarterback? Is that a reflection on him? I don't know.
Where's Kyle going the minute the season's over?
Cabo?
You think?
Probably. Like, I would, right? Like, this has been a season from hell. Like, on a real note, he's had to deal with, like, as a leader of men, a lot of tragedies this year.
As a father himself, guys that are about his age, you know, say goodbye to family members, children.
Yep.
Children.
Having to, I don't know how you think the phone call was talking to his rookie first round pick bed.
Yeah.
Not know if he's going to live.
The whole navigating the injury of Christian McCaffrey.
Like, right? I think he was at a.
That is on the same level as those other life threatening things.
Was it kind of like at a Rick Ross party or something ridiculous when the Ricky, like that whole thing happened? Like, you're in like your party mode, you're excited that it happens. You ever had to deal with the holdouts in the offseason? That's another stress level. Try not to have hard feelings, but you have hard feelings in all of it. So, adversity-wise, it hit him straight in the mouth. And if you're going to try to, you know, spin this positively, maybe they're better for it.
What's their biggest regret as an organization this
year?
Ooh,
that's a good one. Their biggest regret. Right now, it's got to be either re-signing McCaffrey or Ayuk. It's one of those two.
I'm going to go Sorensen. Oh. And not going in a different direction on defense.
They tried.
Schematically. Yeah, no, they didn't. They did. They wanted to do it. Kyle wanted to do it his way. That's my interpretation of it.
They tried to go after C. Spagnuolo. They tried to go, hey, Steve, come over here. No, they tried to go after Bill Belichick.
He's not leaving that. Like,
appreciate that effort, though. But
I mean, come on.
I think the biggest regret is if they could do it again, they would go back and they would sign Ayuk to a deal before Amon-Ra St. Brown got his deal. Because
you think it changes the whole tenor of the offseason?
I feel like, I mean, did the Ayuk holdout not cast a very weird feeling over the entire offseason and in the training camp?
Shadow,
if you remove that shadow, because my theory is when that deal went down, the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal, that's what locked in Ayuk. Like, he's going to go for $30 million a year now. If you get that deal done before St. Brown signs that deal, you probably get him for $25-26 million, so you save some money there. But you also remove that entire distraction all year long. And yeah, I do think that creates a much better tone going into training camp.
It's crazy because we said it in real time, and the amount of people, no. Amon-Ra St. Brown's such a butt kicker. He's awesome.
He's amazing.
He worth every penny.
You see, you watch the receiver doc on Netflix, and it chronicled five or six receivers. Kittle and Debo were one of them. Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I might be missing one. But my respect level for actually, I'm going to go for all those guys except for Devontae Adams, rose exponentially. I can toss Debo Samuel's side a little bit too. Debo and Devontae coming out of that doc. I actually thought very high of Debo because of the injuries he had to deal with last year and you know, fighting through that adversity and you know, it sucks that he had to get hurt in the championship game and all that. But his level of play, his attitude, not talking to reporters, like, you said biggest regret. It's just been a regrettable year for Debo Samuel. I'm just going to phrase it like that. It's been a regrettable year for him, which sucks because I know how much he means to you as a player and being a fan of this team, Joe, that you love that guy. And for it potentially to end this way,
it's got a Pablo feel to it.
Right? It sucks.
Going out on a real low note and like wiping away all of the great memories, and it won't for me, but I think for a lot of people it is. And like that pisses me off.
Right?
On behalf of Debo.
And on the flip side, and why it looks so bad is because I see a player that's currently playing at such a high level, has been such a good leader, has not complained, has called out the likes of a Devondre Campbell after the game, stood up in front of the media, answered every single question that was asked to him, did it with a smile on his face most of the time. That's George Kittle. You could say it's inauthentic or not. He's very authentic. Actually,
I love Kittle.
He's actually even more authentic after this season and what they've had to deal with everything and being accountable. It's him and Fred Warner, man.
Certain guys, I don't care if they age and they don't age well, certain guys need to stay with your team as long as they possibly can.
He needs
can.
To be a Niner for life.
Absolutely. Like, as long as he wants to be.
Him and Fred Warner, for sure.
Yes.
And what they have given to this team this season. I've been saying it all show long. I think Kittle deserves first team All Pro. I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to finish the season on a high note. Whether it's him and Josh Dobbs next week in Arizona, we'll see. By the way, great tight end matchup, Trey McBride versus him. Trey McBride having one of the great all-time seasons for a tight end.
No touchdowns.
With one, he got one last week.
I mean, it's unreal.
It's unreal. Just goes to show
we
you
call
how
that the Eric Johnson.
But that just goes to show you how important that position is right now and how thin it is in the National Football League. It's him, it's Bowers, it's McBride, it's Travis Kelce. It's really been it. Let's hit Fast Five, Sammy.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, it is time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts of the show, brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network, only from Xfinity. The future starts now, and the future really does start now, because we're going to be ticking down to New Year's Day. Joe Shasky.
I feel like the last month of football has been ruined for me by the Niners, and I'm having a really hard time getting up for just all these football games because of the sadness that surrounds me when it comes to the 49ers. That being said, Niner fans are way more loyal than people give them credit for. I know there's a bandwagon contingent for every fan base. I was out and about yesterday around game time, and people were rocking their Niner gear everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And I just love Niner fans. And I just want to say, I know we've had a down year. Y'all were championship level and have been for a long time. We have won a Super Bowl as fans, although the team hasn't. As a fan base, we've supported this team, and I love y'all. It just sucks what we're going through.
I'll be back.
Like heavy sigh there, too.
I know.
It's... That might be...
Honestly, the Niners sucking hurts my soul more than any of the other teams sucking. For weeks on end.
My final thought is, you know, as down as I was about the first round of the college football playoff, I am really liking how this second round could shape up. Starting tonight with Boise State versus Penn State. I look at these four games here, and I kind of could see a way where all four of the lower seeds could pull off upsets over these next 2 days. So
works up.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, Penn State boys, that'll be a fun one, but man, I have no reason to leave the couch tomorrow with that slate we got. So very excited for this second round of the college football playoff, and definitely no other college football
teams. I'm leaving the couch.
Where are you going?
Golfing.
Ooh, where are you golfing at?
Jealous.
Club.
Just the club that I just...
Oh, club.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Sorry, one last Miami.
I just don't know the club. I mean, just...
There's lots of clubs out
there. Talking about the driver, the pitching wedge. Oh, the club. So sorry.
You got to know someone. The big news, though, Miami Hurricanes firing their defensive coordinator, Lance Guidry. Oh, man, did we need that.
Maybe they can pick up Nick Sorensen when he gets let go.
Oh, man. Maybe, hey, we can switch. You'll bring Guidry over here, send Sorensen down there. Let's all be miserable next year.
My final thought is, have a safe night, everybody. Don't start off the new year with knucklehead behavior. Be smart. I don't think I've stayed up till midnight, Joe Shasky, in like a decade. This holiday is a like it does nothing for me. I don't know, it's like a big one. It just did. I get up at 3 in the morning.
You know what my homie said to me the other day? And I'll leave his name unsaid. We're not a nighttime New Year's Eve family anymore. We're a day drinking New Year's Day family.
That's
I go,
great.
The kids too? And he's like, no, the parents, but that means the kids as well.
Yeah.
We're a daytime New Year's Day drinking family.
I respect that.
Shout
honestly.
Out Jimbo.
I do. Shout out Jimbo. 888-957-9570 is the number. Start lining them up. Evan Giddings filling in for Daryl the Guru Johnson coming up next. They're going to be he's going to be joined by Matt Steinmetz, obviously. They're going to get you locked and loaded. They're going to react to not only the Lions 40-34 victory of the 49ers, because Kyle Shanahan, speaking to the media at 11 o'clock, will know more about Brock Purdy's injury and that status going on. And also, the Cleveland Cavaliers whipped the Golden State Warriors' butts again yesterday. The Warriors. Just when you thought you were being excited and talking about Jonathan Kuminga, they have that, as Coach Askew called it, a poop sandwich yesterday. Big old poop sandwich in the Bay Area when it comes to the sports right now. And I guess that's our parting imagery and parting words on the Morning Roast. Have a good day, everybody.
This is stupid. It's just dumb football.